Friends, I'm turning this morning to Genesis chapter 3 and from verses 22 to 24. Genesis chapter 3 from verses 22 to 24. And the Lord God said, "Behold, a man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And this morning we shall be looking at the grace of God in salvation. The grace of God in salvation. I'm sure many of you know when we mention grace, there are different meanings that people give to grace. That is why when even people are behaving in a way that is contrary to the scriptures, they will tell you, because of the grace, we can do this. Even when people, the Bible is clear that women can be ministers. I've heard ministers who are defending this and saying that because of grace, they can appoint women ministers. Many people are behaving in a way that is not acceptable in the Bible, and yet they sin because of grace. And I pay you back fire yes I'm kind of free Genesis chapter 3 free 22 equals 24 no na asma yebe nyaso akasa ne eni se onyankopon adom ewo enkwaje se de onam nadom so agi enipenkwa. Now the medical kind says a cast adoma, ten be any papa bray, a domagine far at the full frosso. Be also adumuninti, which may I say, adumuninti. A dear Bible see me in your crown, which may cast adumuninti, and a dear, which may I. I mean, my example say, no minister be naming no cast about. Say Bible say my man ye are so for. Nineteen of my maya so for. Also adumuninti. Sabeno na adumunu, anyho. See adumuna ba. Into adumuni ba, into no, which may I, sir. But they say, "Neno, you show me who say any son is here. You cast your coupon out, don't know any son a trick." Now, this is divine grace that we are talking about, and it's an attribute of God. It is not something small. It's one of the attributes of God, the grace. It is an attribute of God. So it is of a divine character, and it's exercised only towards the elect, those that God had predestined to save. Are the ones that this grace is exercised on for their salvation. There's nowhere in the New Testament or the Old Testament that the grace of God is mentioned in connection with mankind generally and or any of his creatures. No, it has always been God's attribute, and therefore he exercised that attribute on the people that he has predestined to save. The mission is Adumu ya yekan wase me ya Onyankopon Adumu no. Eye Onyankopon ni su baako se ye kase Onyankopon wo ye kronkron wo ye odo o wo tumi ni nyina aye ni su na baako ene nadom no na eye ade a odi ma enipa a wono abo ne timpo ansa na wiase kra beba no se obegye om nkwa omu na odi sa ade no ma o. But I would like us to know the difference between mercy and then grace. Because as for mercy, it is exercised, because according to Psalm 145 that we just read, it said, the mercy of God is over all his works. So grace is the sole source from which flows the goodwill, love, and salvation of God unto his chosen people. The mission is Bible Nakan said the mechanic of Psalm 145 and say, Mobuhunu, Ewo, Nipani, Ninia, Ninuma, Waboy Naso, Nemomuno, Ne, not Domine dear, or the Ma and Kofua, or Nuana Bun Timpo say, or Bajomonquan. Intino, grace, a Domon Kua, Enna, and Quajinano, and Nemu say, ye GDO, say, Ninianam, a Domuso. Let me quote what Arthur Fink said concerning the grace of God. He says, and I quote, "Divine grace is the sovereign and saving favor of God exercised in the bestowment of blessings upon those who have no merit in them and for which no compensation is demanded from them." You see, he's saying that this grace God exercises on people who don't deserve it. They deserve the opposite. People who have sinned against him and he has to punish them. Now, he won't punish them, and yet he's also giving them grace to come to him. So it's an unmerited favor that God is giving as compared to any other favor that men gave. So this is different. That's what Arthur Pink is saying. He said the sovereign and saving favor of God exercised in the bestowment of blessings upon those who have no merit. They have no merit in them. And then they actually deserve condemnation. And yet God grants them grace to come. This grace has three characters that I want us to look at. First, it is eternal. Because like I said earlier, grace was planned before it was exercised. It was purposed in his mind before it was imparted to people. God had already planned, he has said it already, that those that he will save them, he has predestined that they will be saved. First, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Secondly, it is free. Sir, I do mean free. No one can purchase it. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24, it said, "Being justified freely by his grace." Freely by his grace. Nobody can buy it. Because if we have to look at what it takes for you, for a sinner to be forgiven and come to God, nobody can do it. There's nothing you can do. The American say, "I did talk to me," and he said, "First, me say, I don't know. A idea, a oho, forever and ever. If it is, it could see, a. Na ne oho, and sakwa na iwiase no ebeba. Na Nyankopon aka to ho se enipa obegye omunkwa no, o di adomo so en ebegye omunkwa. Because enye papa bi na omo aye, but e yon onwankasa na semo a waka to ho no didada. E na de to swim yenu no so no, e ye free. Fi se obi entimi nto. Se ye ka se even enfama ye humi kwa se ye ka se nto a, ye entimi nto. Would have your cost of electricity. Any man can think it. Nothing you can say, "Homia, Homis or Tramania, and could be intimental." A disana admonity, Admons or Castle or Tramania, would be a intimental. And now, Romans chapter 3, verse 24, I can say, "What justify, and nature say, would be a wood for." Then so I say, "What give him?" Even though one can wood for. And so Sandy will be a Yamountino, made a bonny actual. Now, or their mind free. One year capre. And now the third thing is, it is sovereign. It is sovereign. Because already we have mentioned that God exercises towards and bestows those upon whom he pleases, those that he has foreordained. Romans chapter 5 verse 21 says, "Even so, my grace reigns." So grace reigns. So if it reigns, then there's a throne. So it is the sovereignty, he's sovereign that he gives. From his sovereign that he gives this grace. So that is why we have the throne of grace. You know, we pray and we say we come before the throne of grace. It is a throne, and therefore somebody must reign on that throne. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 talks about this. The idea talks to me and Sawa Adum say, "Unyankupo and Kasa, Unyankupo no Oyobia, or no, Udini Hoso, or Tini Humasi, when you lie on Ubia, or no Kasa, and Wakatu or say, obey us, Adiwe, and Aoye." Into or nakasa nejuma na Hebrews engomano chapter 4 verse 16 I can't we want him say the sovereignty of God in this salvation. So the word grace in the Bible means unmerited divine assistance, which I've just said, unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification, or God's benevolence, God's compassion, God's mercy to the undeserving. Unyankopon adumu a odima enipa nsesenko di ema wo mo eno ni sovereign grace no. The Bible says that the Bible says that grace is necessary. This on merited grace that we get is necessary. Sorry. Why is it necessary? Because according to Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it says, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Or see Adum Wenu, a hum here, a humber here, and son awenya and quadje. Let me say, didn't you know see a hum here? Didn't you hear me say Romans chapter 3, verse 20 say, say, ye human kuma dia and kayin to me so on yanko poeni. Ubi any we are simua, or wait make us say, ni numa, another ni papa ye, ever so on yanko poeni. Say, to Saddi, and I just say, in yanadum, and sana, ye etimia, sa, and quadje. So the only way to receive God's saving grace is through faith in Christ. The only way, that is why John 3:16 says, that the only way to receive the grace is through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The same chapter 21 and 22 goes on to say that, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. So you see, this grace, you can only get it from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and God has to give it to you. So, where is the source of this grace? It is it's like the fountainhead of our salvation. That is this grace of God. And that is what salvation passes through, so that we can have salvation. We can be saved from our sins and be reconciled to God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that faith, not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So even the faith to believe is also the gift of God. Jidye kwa obeji nyankupon asemne dienu. Nyankupon achedia odimam. Obie ni hon ma unwanka sebe transi obeka se. And then pese mi jin nyankupon di. Obie ni yesa. Because we are fallen. We hate God by nature. If you study how men hate God, You believe that nobody can be saved. It's not the same man who killed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what did he do? He did nothing. And yet, when even the king was warned them, he said, oh, his blood be on us. So you see how wicked men are. And then how can we come to God with this wickedness by nature, except through grace? Now let's see the fruits or the benefits of this grace. As we read in our psalm, God is gracious. And because he's gracious, sinful men who deserve condemnation are in the first place forgiven. This is some of the benefits. We are forgiven of our sins. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 to 8. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. If I say me share sa adun e no ene ma yenya efrimu na de dikan ni bonifache ena me go to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 to 8 say ni mu ena yenya enkwaje efa a enam Yesu moja no so o de boni e cheye through his same grace enya no nko a we are also converted. Not only that, they are also converted. Psalm 119 verse 3 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So not only are we forgiven, we are also converted. We are wicked people, a people condemned to death, but we are converted. We are given a new heart. The heart, the stony heart that made us hate God, is changed for us. It's converted into a soft heart that loves God. And your body fat yanko or sounds to S Yesu. Yesu ya kuma na etiemu na my yem pin yankupon semuno. Am I yet time yankupon or the son of my yenya akuma fufro? That is conversion. And I go to Psalm 119 verse 3. Or see on yankupon emranu a pepe epe converti a change a nipakra. It's a sa a nipakra. Not only that, they are also purified. The fruits of the grace. We are purified. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Apart from say, Obesan amia ye kronkron obeti ye ho purified obeti ye ho and I'm going to 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says say ye kan ye boni echiye no ye nu ye ho no ye kan bo woni che na obeti ye fisa ye boni mu na amia be ye kronkron. Not only that, we are also saved. Romans chapter 10 verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We shall be saved. When we say you will be saved, it means you are in danger. So you need to be saved. We were in danger. The wrath of God was upon us because of our sinful nature. But through the grace, we are saved. The mission is say, Osan so my enkwaji wo ye free ti bi ebim se de nyankopon ebufushi wo ye so no wa be ye free sa ebufushi unu amya ye enipa fofo. Now, like I said earlier on, it's not because of anything good in us, but it's because of the qualities in God. Not what is in us, but because of what is in God. When you know Yangupon, enye bibia papa bi e wo ye ye munta wo he Israel for Yangupon e frere omo na papa bi eni omumu hweboni ano omudi omu kumomma Ede ye sacrifice nya de omu ntie nyankopon asem nyankopon beka se dom obia no monye ni sa enso ono ana e frere wo na je se nya bibi papa bia na wo mu no frere ono akasa na opese o frere wo the same thing na ye enso o frere yen e sign ne tibia nti na ne tibia no eni sen eni ma be na wo nyankopon mu ntia e ma otimi nya sati atenka no ma yen na wo twee free yen boni mu de di kan ye love odo nyankopon o odo God is love. The second one is goodness. His goodness. The second one is pity. And then compassion. Then his mercy. And then his grace that we are talking about. This is what the qualities of God that made him give us this grace. His love, his goodness, his pity, his compassion, his mercy, and then his grace. When you kupon ni drawo, and then papa oye, and ne humo bro, and nadum. And in Nana, because I don't know your Yankupon attributes in the back on the qualities in the back on. And see, no one's in a mouth to me, a dear bonny chain, a bra, yea, papa bia. But most of the time, we fix our minds upon the faith. Because when we read John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So we emphasize on the faith. But you can see that the faith. The source of even the faith is the grace. Gidi enu kwa na ye wono e adum ni ntabi konya kupona na ma yesa e gidi. Ako bi ne hono ma wono abegi nyakopon asem nedi. So it is all the faith is also through the grace. That is the source of our faith. So faith is the work of God's grace in us. Adum ni nti na ma yenya gidi e wo onyakopon. So faith is like the channel while grace is the fountain. I say, Adibia in su enemu eba. So faith in here, Adin in su enemu. Now grace, any the ma in su nitimi efemuba. So that is how I can explain that the faith that we have is through the grace that God gives us. John chapter 6, verse 34 says, no man cometh unto me except the Father which has sent me draws him. Obeyed me, ma ejanho. I just said, "Yankupon nankasa etrinse any panel," and this word "draw" there, no, is a very strong word, because we are stubborn, we hate God, we don't want to come to God, so He has to draw us before we come. The mission is there. Enye Yankupon adum na, and ko bi empeso weba o Yankupon ho. Eno ye Jesus kano John 6:44 ni say, "Obi etimi ma ejano ho." I just said, "Ejano nankasa ebetrino," and sana any panel etimi aba. So grace is the first and last moving cause of salvation, whereas faith, even though it's very essential, is only an important part of the machinery. Even though faith is necessary, it is the grace that brings the faith about. Gidie ehia, and so adumuno enema gidie no eba. Adumuno ni holo ma gidie nsu eniho. Spurgeon says something concerning this. Let's see what he says. Say faith occupies the position of a channel or a conduit pipe. Grace is a fountain and the stream. I didn't have explained this already. When you see even the electricity, when you see the conduit pipe, what the power goes through. That is what Spurgeon is saying here. So faith occupies the position of a channel or a conduit pipe. But grace is the fountain. Grace and the power no formu. Ever. So saving grace What does he do? It results in our sanctification. In a coupon, Adam, no. So, we don't say any person, you beji assembly, Eddie, we are, and you one thing. And Sana, you are two, maybe a friend positional sanctification. I feel the obetria free, we are sim, Eddie Amma, or Nunqua, we are set apart for God. That's what we call holiness. When we say somebody is holy, the only meaning is that he's been set apart for God. Holiness. So, it is through this grace that we are set apart for God. We are sanctified, which is a process which we are being conformed to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this grace, what it does is that it helps us in our conformity to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 talks more about this. We can't read because of our time. And God has also promised that he will never forsake us. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Be confident of this thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, this is another reason why we the reformers say that once saved, forever saved. Or perseverance of the saved. As we just read from our hymn number 423. The faith that saved him is the faith that will carry him home. The grace that saved him is the same grace that will carry him home. God will not save you and leave you in the middle of the water to be drowned. So this saving grace is something that is a quality of God which he gives us. We have nothing in ourselves that will commend us to God. Romans chapter 10, 3 verse 10 to 11. He says we have nothing that we can bring to God for God to accept us. Why is it like that? Because fundamentally we are unacceptable to God. Because God is holy, 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 and we are sinful, sinful, sinful. We can never, never go near God. So we need his grace to be able to come to him. And this is the reason why when Christ in Luke chapter 18 said, describe those who can be saved, his disciples asked him, so how can we be saved then? If this is the way, then Christ said, what is impossible to man is possible with God. Because if you look at the nature of man, that is why the problem in Christianity today is that people are not preaching the state of man, the natural state, their true condition. If people know their true condition, they won't take service lightly as we are seeing now. They won't go and be dancing. If they know their situation and what they have to do to be able to be saved, they will never go and be dancing in a church. But people don't tell them that. They tell them they are okay. Once they come to church, they are all right. That is not true. You are terrible before God. The wrath of God is under you every day. That is what the Bible says. Not until you are cleansed from that situation. It is a bad, bad, bad situation. And Christ, the Bible is true. God is real. Judgment will come. And you are in this situation. If you know this, you will never behave like that. So people don't tell them that we are unacceptable to God by our nature. So salvation, as we said, is God's work. He begins it and he finishes it. He gives the grace that we need. So our saving grace that God gives is Christ. That is why John 3:16 says that those who believe in Christ will not be will be saved. So how does the grace in Christ save us? His work on the cross is what saves us, not our own merit. Sometimes we may think that, our faith, sorry. No. God has to give you that faith, and it is through grace. So Christ's merit must be applied to us. He is the only one who came to this world and never sinned. So that merit is given to us. So when we appear before God, we appear like Christ. That is why it is all by grace, not by anything that we can do. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 to 12 says, none of us seek after God. None. Nobody seeks after God. We are on the opposite side. We don't want to come to where God is. And the Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 also says that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. God's saving grace is completely his gift. Even so, because our ability to accept the saving grace is also another gift from God, which is the faith I was talking about. Now, brethren, let's look at our purpose in life. Why were we created? We were created so that we can worship God. That is our destiny. We were created to be in this world and to worship God. And living in that way and worshiping God should be our priority. That is the only way. That is the reason why that's the only way we can get happiness. We can never get happiness from any other source except when we are cleansed from our sins and we can worship God in spirit and in truth. That is true happiness. I always tell people that you can't go and be sitting somewhere and be drinking or be chatting and laughing and say you are happy. No. But to think within yourself that even if I die today, I'm going to where God is. That is true happiness. To know that your relationship with God, the Creator, the Holy, 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 is the one that you are serving. Inside you, there's some happiness, there's some joy in you that nobody can see. That is true happiness. Because that is your destination. You were created to come and serve God. But the reality of it is that we all struggle to do this. Why? Because of our nature. We all want to go away from God. We don't want to come near God because of our nature. And it is not because we are busy in this world or we are busy doing one thing or the other. It is because of our sinful nature. Our inclination is towards evil because of what Adam and Eve did that we read earlier on in the Bible. So we were created to worship God, to enjoy with Him, and then something has gone wrong. So that worship cannot come on until we are restored to our former place. And that can be done through the grace of God. As we read in the Bible, when God created Adam and Eve, all activities that God gave them to do were to be performed in the service and enjoyment of God. All what God gave them to do was for the benefit and enjoyment of God. But since the fall, all these activities are now performed in the service and enjoyment of ourselves. You see the big difference? Instead of serving God, now we are serving ourselves. We want to be happy. Now when people go and dance in the church and you ask them how our church is, they say, oh, today church was nice, I was happy. But do they ask if God was happy? Because He is the one that they are going to serve. Is He happy? Or they are happy because they had a chance to dance. You see, so everything has been turned to ourselves. We want to enjoy, not God. See, you see, the story as we read started from the serpent who went to deceive Adam and Eve. And we saw how the temptation was. And that is how He tempts us too. Sometimes it is not for you to go and do something very awful, to kill somebody or to go and do something awful, but just to do something a little bit different from how God wants. Because once you miss the mark, that is it. So what did He say? He said, did God really say that to you? When the woman said, God said we should eat off all the fruit, but the one that is the middle we should not eat. He said, did God really say that to you? Are you sure? That can't be right. You see how he tempted him? He said, no, that can't be right. So he just had to sow a little bit of doubt in Eve. And that was enough to destroy them. Because sin is disobedient to God. Once you disobey God, you have sinned. And that is what he did. He just had to send some doubt in the mind of Eve. And once he ate it, he had disobeyed God. And now he has got all mankind. The mission is saying, "I go Adam and Eve, or do go garden, no, no. Because if you be a on be a no, omunye, Emma or no, yango pon. Now Adam, aye boni we aye na fele. If be a omunye be a no, omunye ma omu. Omunye yango pon. Na sasun the ne e kosu we asimu. Iti na okon sorry be a beko no mu di asa no mu di omunye no. Omu ye do omunye beji. Eni de yango pon ni beji. To be ofia sorry ba. Osu eni de manage pa. I won't say anything about energy because maybe I was from a coin or person was from another. But so when I'm energy, I don't know. Oh, so for any more boy, now the power missile. So you see, attention has now been drawn to ourselves instead of unto God. And that is very, very, very serious. That is what is happening in our lives today. Sometimes, even a Christian who has been saved may think that, oh, even if I have to go and enjoy myself a little bit at the beach or somewhere there, it's not sinful. That's how the devil does. He brings something that you think, oh, normally it is not so wicked, but then it will make you disobey God. That is exactly what he did to Adam and Eve. So when he forbidden food and gave it to his husband Adam, as we read in verse 7, he said, their eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and then they had to sew fig leaves together. You see, they had to sew it themselves, even though when they were there before, God gave them everything. As soon as their eyes opened, they had to go and look for something to cover them themselves. So, that is exactly what the devil did. And then, why did they have to go and sew those fig leaves? Because they saw that they were naked. So you see, what came to them? Guilt, shame, and then a fear of being known what they have done to God. This small thing that the devil convinced Adam and Eve to do, it brought guilt, shame, and a fear. You see? So the psychological impact on us when we sin against God is so deep. It's very, very deep because it affects our emotions, our guilt, our fear. It brings anger. Then self-justification. You see, when even God came to ask them, they were apportioning blames. This did this and this, that. This. They will never accept that they themselves have done anything wrong. And that's where we are. When we sin, we try to defend the sin. You see, it is all what the situation that we have been falling into. Blaming others for the situation in which we ourselves find ourselves that we have done, we still put it on other people. In the Western world, it's worse. Any bad thing that somebody does, oh, his background, his community, they will always find a way of defending bad things that people do. But this is not the cause of this is our fall from God. Since man fell, all these things happened. So that is why, that is right, it is right from there that the grace of God started. You see how God had to sow the fig leaves for them, and then in the end, he had to banish them from the garden. This banishment, people misinterpret it, but that is the grace. Because if you are not banished them, they will go and eat the fruit of life, and then that will be it. Then they will be doomed forever and ever. Then there's no way of repentance because they can't change again. So God had to banish them from the garden until they had to go and then see how life, the life that God gave them what they wanted. So you see how life is going to be without God. And that's what he was doing to the Israelites and doing to us. When we sin, sometimes he will chastise us. But all those things are to bring it back to himself. So he drove them out and then he put the flaming sword so that they can't come there again until they repent. And then come to and come to us, and that is exactly what he does for us. So let's see how this grace was manifested. You see, first God goes looking for them. In verse 8, we read that because they felt so guilty for what they had done, Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. But then in verse 9, we read that, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" See, he had to go and look for him. So God went to look for him. For Adam and Eve, knowing because they could never have come on their own because of the guilt and the fear that God will know what they have done. The ambassador Michelle said, Adam and Eve, Uncle Yes, I bonny will we no. I say, Omon Kasano, Omo ye guilty, Omo a fobu, Omo Tiankasa, Omo conscience, a boom for Bonnie Omoye. If you know Omo Stro, some about your community, and Omo Janico. And that is how it is. We can never come to God. That's what we read earlier on, that God has to draw them, draw us. Some people call it drag, to drag you because you are stubborn. He has to drag you. We remember the case of Lot, when even the Sodom and Gomorrah was burning and the angels were taking them along. You see, they had to drag them. And that's how we are. By nature, we are terrible before God. But you see, God's desire was to have a relationship with Adam and Eve, despite what they had done. And he wasn't prepared to let them go. You see, the love of God. Despite all what they have done, the disobedience, he wasn't prepared to let them go and perish. So he had to go and look for them. There are times in our life when we feel that we have failed so badly that we want to hide from God. It happened to us. Sometimes you think that you have done something so bad that you want to hide from God. And you're going to run away from him. But God won't let us do that. God will always draw you. That is why we go through punishment or chastisement. There's no point in running away from God. Because there's nothing you can do. You can never, never live without God. So the best thing is just rather come to him. come and seek forgiveness. He loves us so much that he will never let us go. That's as simple as that. The love of God is so much that he won't leave us to go astray. The second thing is that he gave them what they want. God gave them what they wanted. You see, it's strange, but that is how the grace of God works. He doesn't deny Adam and Eve the very thing that they were seeking for. He gave it to them. Even though they had been told by God not to eat of the fruit of the that particular tree, they went to eat, and then look at what happened. In verse 16, you see, he said, the woman will be, he gave him pain in childbirth. You have, before then, childbirth wasn't going to be that difficult, because God gave Adam and Eve so that they can reproduce. So he wouldn't have made it that painful. But now, because he was going to bear everything, even though it should be painful, with God in it, you never have felt the pain. But now you want to be on your own. So he will leave you to now bear everything yourself. That is why he said they will go through pain in their childbirth. And in verse 17, the man also finds physical work, the labor of his sons, to be. You see, when they were in the garden, God did not say they wouldn't eat. I mean, they wouldn't work. They would just have to take care of the garden. But everything with God's assistance and God's direction. So it will be a joy to do that. But now, doing it on your own, that is what we are seeing now. Even now, we who have been saved, it's difficult to serve God. We don't serve God with the joy that is needed because of our nature. Because like I said, before the fall, engagement, all those things were done with pleasure and then pain-free. But because of the fall, all the acts of creativity became filled with pain and agony. That was the punishment that God gave them. And that's what they asked for. God knows why he said they should not eat. Because he knew the consequences. And then man went to eat. And then he said, okay, if you have eaten, fine. But you see what it means to eat that. So you bear everything yourself without my help. The third thing is that God clothed them. We saw that God had to sow fig trees for them. Even though Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they are gone against him, the Lord God realized that he had to also come to their aid because of his mercy. Look at verse 21. He said, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. See, God knows how distressed they were feeling. He knew their shame and their sense of guilt. And see, so there's no sense in which God tells them off. Instead of that, he said, now I will go and see them. You see, the love of God, I will go and look for them. And that is how God is with us. When we fall short through disobedience, we cannot begin to comprehend or feel the words to explain the depth of God's love for us. The love of God, sometimes you can't even think about it. Everything about God is such that human being can never comprehend. Even his patience. You see people deliberately distorting God's word for years, and God has patience to look at them. So the love of God, we can never comprehend it. So the same thing that God does to us, we are sinful, we disobey, and yet God always has to be with us. In 1 John 3, verse 20, it says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You see, your own conscience will condemn you for what you have done. But God is greater than your conscience. And he always, he knows our nature and he comes to us. So basically what it means is that whenever our conscience condemns us, we can be assured that God is greater than our conscience. We can therefore look boldly to God. That is why even when we sin and we repent, we can still come to him and pray. You see, because he's greater than our conscience. So God and our conscience, they operate in completely different ways. Our conscience wants to condemn us, and then our conscience wants us to be condemned in the mistake that we have done. But God, his conscience is different from us. Why is he so different from us? And how does he do it? Instead of condemning us, he clothes us. You see what he did to Adam and Eve? He went to clothe them. Instead of letting them pay for their own mistakes, he takes them away on the cross of Calvary. You see, instead of leaving us to go astray and be perished, he has Christ to come and die for us, so that when we look at Christ on the cross of Calvary, our sins are forgiven us. Instead of letting us feel guilty, our guilt has been transferred onto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, even our guilt, that's why he bore on the cross of Calvary. Our guilt has been taken care of him. God does not want us to feel unworthy, so he wants us to know that we are beloved children. He loves us, and it's all by the grace which God gives to us. And we must not let our conscience rob us that maybe when we do something bad, we can't come to God. Because of his grace, we can always come to him. And also, he protects them, as I said earlier, from eternal consequences of their bad decisions. See, like I said earlier on, he could have left them to go and touch the tree in the middle, and that would be the end. But what did he do? Verse 22, as I read, he said, "And the Lord God said, the man has not become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat, and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and flaming sword, or flashing back and forth to guide the way. You see, he did all these things so that they can't come there again. So he took them back to where they came from. And that's what God does. When God wants to bring you back, he can strip you naked so that you go where he picked you from. Then you start to learn sense. And that's exactly what he did with them. And that is his grace. If he say, I've just forgiven you and go, he won't be God. He's a God of mercy and still is a God of justice. He's a just God. So he has to punish sin. But he has taken that sin too upon himself by sending our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come and die on the cross of Calvary. So you see, God is in the position to reverse everything that we have done. And that is what he has done. He has done it through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Genesis chapter 3 is one story about Adam and Eve, and a story about ourselves too. More importantly, it is there for us. We who have come in the gospel age, we should learn from what happened to Adam and Eve and then see what he has done in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His grace, his compassion, and his mercy, and his love, which he uses to find us and draw us back to himself. So my question to you this morning is that, have you experienced that grace? Have you experienced the grace of God that gives salvation? Do you feel in your heart, in your mind, that you are truly with God? If not, it is not too late. God is still compassionate. God is still pitiful. God is a God of love. He is always ready. He has extended his hand unto us to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So come now. Come wherever you are now. Bow down your head and pray to God that God will forgive you of your sins and draw you to himself, because he has done that already. Christ has died to save us from our sins. The mission is so what you on pay, not say Nyangopon Adon na ye can wasem say and yeah more wakume mua. Once I was chassis a womb we no and neano bow trassi you wahe na kunyakupon him so on fa bunny in chow na on mau our fufro na on chung emrano. That is what the whole Bible is about. The Bible is about forgiveness of our sins. Our relationship with God, which became sour, and God bringing us back to himself. It's not about miracles. It's not about wealth in this world. It's all about your soul. Is your soul saved? That is the question you should ask yourself today.